ministry, what he does with salvation. It was a great lesson. He saw the sanctification ministry. He saw all the different things he wants to do with us when it comes to us becoming like Jesus Christ. And then last week we began this thought, his strengthening ministry. And we looked at Isaiah chapter number 40. And the truth of it is we are all in times in need of strength. And when you run out of gas physically, that's one thing. But when you run out of gas spiritually, it's something that we need renewed. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And you know, this is where we got to realize we are completely and utterly dependent upon God. And then he sends his Holy Spirit in to give us strength, to help us do those things that we're not able to do, or to teach us how to do those things we're not able to do. And we see even the youth shall faint, those who we think are strong, those who we think will never run out of energy. And I know we've met kids like that, and we've probably had to watch kids like that. Don't they ever stop? And don't they do fight? They do faint. They many times just die off and just lay there when they're sleeping and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. We will all fail and fall on our own in our own strength. But this wonderful verse and this wonderful promise is, but they that wait upon the Lord, that means that they just sit there and relax and rest in God and his strength, the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So in this lesson, we've been talking about the different ways the Holy Spirit enables us to have these promises fulfilled in our life. It's amazing some of the things he does. And we're just going to do a quick review. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. You know, he gives us the strength. He strengthens us. How does he do that? He tells us which way we should go. He shows us the way we should go and how we should get there. Without him, we're easily deceived. With him, we are safely led. So when we think about how he strengthens us, how he guides us, how he leads us, how he makes us able to do these things, we see that he leads and guides us. He also assures us. Sometimes I know that we feel weak. Sometimes we feel like we're not loved. Sometimes we feel like people don't care. And you say, well, that never happens. It does happen. Sometimes when we get emotionally and spiritually drained and we run out of gas spiritually and we start questioning, man, this isn't worth it. You know, my husband treats me like this, maybe. My wife treats me like that. It's just not, doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit reminds us of something. He reminds us and he assures us of God's unconditional love and also of his complete acceptance. No matter if nobody else accepts us, no matter if nobody else likes us, we are accepted in Christ. Once again, we went over these last week, so we're moving quickly. And then we also talk about how the Holy Spirit comforts us. And now he comes along our side and he comforts us. He, even the Spirit of truth. And it talks about how we, that is expedient that Christ went away because the Comforter was coming. We're released from fear. We do not have to have the fear that this world has. But we're also rescued from the sorrow that many things can bring to our lives. So we come up to the 3 points this morning. First thing I want you to see is when we don't have strength to pray, when we don't have strength to know what to say, he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. And that's a wonderful truth. Have you ever been in the midst of such a turmoil that you couldn't even find the presence of mind to pray with clarity? I don't know. I've been there to the spot where I am just completely and totally overwhelmed, and I just don't know what to say. I know I want to pray, but sometimes it is just a point where I just don't have the words. Some trials of life are so emotionally and mentally overwhelming that they leave us in a dense fog of confusion and concern. There are times that you don't even know what you need, much less how to ask God for it. The circumstances have left you prayerful, but speechless. The Holy Spirit performs a ministry of intercession for us. He intercedes there for us. He is the one that gives God and shows our heart and tells God. And as the intercessor, he intervenes with the Heavenly Father for us. See, he knows our heart. He knows God's heart. He knows exactly what you need. He bears you up before the Father with an intensity that the Bible describes as groaning. It's hard to imagine this, but the Spirit of God from within our heart is crying out with a groaning to God the Father for us. And that is an amazing comforter. He is ever present. He is a helper, assisting, comforting, and exceeding in our behalf. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter number 8. Look what it says is in verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we are weak and when we are overwhelmed and we do not know what we're supposed to do and do not know exactly what we're supposed to say, when we just cast our thoughts and our minds to the Lord will allow the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf and help us. I know I've been there before, to the spot where I'd overwhelming situations, cannot handle it. And I know many of you have been through so much more than what I have been through in my life. But it's kind of interesting where they put these verses next to. They put this verse next to chapter, verse number 28. Most of us would know that verse very well. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, it's the Bible saying here is that when we don't know what to say and we go to the Lord, he is able to intercede for us. And it reminds us of this truth, that he can take everything and work it together for good. Even those things that we could not imagine how God is going to work, even those things we don't imagine how in the world we are going to see it through, he can take it all. And when we go before him, he is intercedes on our behalf. And all we have to do is take our thoughts and our heart to God and say, God, I don't really know what to say. Spend some time with him. We wonder, we think, man, that wasn't very eloquent. That wasn't very, I'm glad nobody else heard that. I don't know what to say, Lord. I just know I'm dependent upon you. And you know what? God, the Spirit, will be able to take that. And it says, and I love the fact he uses the word groaning. It's this idea, he is groaning. He bears you up before the Spirit, Father, with an intensity that the Bible describes as groaning. He feels what you're going through. It is something that he is going through with you. As we learned before, he is our intercessor for us before God the Father. I think that's exciting. Next thing is the Holy Spirit gives us patience and hope. He gives us patience and hope. The Holy Spirit reminds us of some things. He gives us abounding hope. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but hope is not the same type of thing as I'm wishing for something. In the Bible, hope is in reference to there is an established fact that I am going to go to heaven someday, and I am putting my hope in the fact that I have hope in the fact I'm going to heaven. I'm not just wishing for a certain Christmas present. I'm not just wishing that I'll win the lottery. And that's going to be hard to do if you don't buy a ticket, right? I'm not just wishing, and I'm just, no, I have an established fact, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. I have the hope that God's going to hear me, because I have confidence in him. It's something that the Holy Spirit reminds us. When life gets hard, our first prayer usually is something like this: God, make life easy again. God, take away this. Get me out of this. And that's a normal reaction. That's an understandable reaction. But the Holy Spirit, God, takes you beyond normal. Remember, this is living beyond our capacities. It's finding hope in the situations that God can take all things and work them together for good. And he says that through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can abound in hope because of the fact that he is the one making all things work together. He lifts us beyond our capacity to see life through an entirely different lens. And this is what the patience and hope comes in. It's when we look beyond our circumstances and see what God can do. Our hope is found in the fact he can take all things together and work them for good. Our hope is found in the fact that Jesus Christ has promised us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Our hope is found in the fact that we have a home in heaven someday. This is the hope that the Holy Spirit reminds us. See, there is a process for navigating tribulations. Like we learned last week, he is our navigator. It's just like those instrument panels that are found on those planes. Either you can trust them and you let them lead you and navigate you through, or you can try to base it off your feelings. And when tribulations come through, the Holy Spirit is one that needs to navigate us. The Holy Spirit can give us supernatural perspective that includes the ability to see by faith the good hand of God in our difficulties, which is hope. And sometimes you can go into a certain situation, a certain spot, and so sorry for this. I can't believe this happened. It's just sad. And you know what? Another person has a whole completely different perspective. And you say, you know what? God did this and God has worked out these details. This was what was best for me. And you look back on your life and you see how God worked you through in the past and how certain situations and adversity came in your life. And you're like, man, I can't believe this has happened. But now 10, 15, 20 years, you go back and say, I am so thankful for the things I learned during those times of adversity. I would not trade them for anything in the world. Yes, it was not easy, but now I can place my hope in the fact that the Holy Spirit of God can cause all those things to work together for good once again. He also teaches us something on enduring with patience. You know, we are supposed to, there are certain things in this life that we will have to endure through. There are certain things in this life that are not going to be fun and are not going to be easy. The Bible never paints a picture of how everything is going to be all fun and roses. He doesn't. He tells us that we will face persecution, but he also tells us that we can have joy through it. And the Bible says in this idea of enduring, it gives the verses, Colossians 1 verse 11 says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. This is with joyfulness, though. You know, patience is a divinely imparted ability to endure a trial. Patience is a divinely imparted ability to endure a trial. It's a supernatural strength. To actually be patient through something is something that only comes from the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. When the circumstances are converging upon you, it's not our human nature to just want to sit and have the power of being patient. This is more than just developing a positive thinking. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God and endures every trial with confidence, with serenity, and a faith-filled optimism. This is more than just saying, okay, I can make it through. We are enduring, but we can endure with patience and find joyfulness in our life. See, the Holy Spirit of God is able to do this. He says, I'm just not a patient person. I'm not good at that. That means we're not a spirit-filled person. Because if we were a spirit-filled person, we wouldn't have the problems of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We would be able to handle those things because we've let the Holy Spirit of God take and lead and control our lives because he is strengthening us. He is giving us hope that where we have no hope, he is giving us patience where we on our own are not being patient. We see this in people's worlds. We see this in the day and time we live in. Everybody wants everything right now. I like to call it the microwave society. We've gotten so used to having something so fast and so quick, we're not willing to wait for the right thing and for the best thing and be patient about things. But the Holy Spirit of God, he strengthens us this way. He says, okay, I'm going to strengthen you with my hope. I'm going to strengthen you with the patience that the rest of the world does not have. God does something special in our lives through difficult times. Apart from God, the difficulties of life could be chalked up to a purposeless, pointless, and meaningless. But when we belong to him, every dynamic of life has eternal implications. Every trial has a hopeful outcome. And every hardship involves the hand of God working something out for good in our lives and our plans. And this is what he's building up for us. If we let the Holy Spirit of God, he will intercede for us. He will give us hope, and he'll let us see that hope. He'll give us patience, and he'll let us endure through these things with joyfulness. You say, how in the world can a person do that? We can't. It's living beyond our capacity. It's not us controlling the things. It's not us in charge of the things. It's letting the Holy Spirit of God be in charge and in control of things. And we come to the point where we are able to endure with patience. How? Because he gives us that strength. And remember, there are times when we get weak. There are times that we went back to Isaiah chapter 40. You know, when we're weak, he gives us strength. When we have no might, he gives us strength. He gives us might. This is what he's willing and able to do. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5 talks a little bit more about this hope and talks a little bit more about this patience, mostly about hope here. Romans chapter number 5, you look what it says in verse number 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access by faith. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And keeps on, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How can you glory in a tribulation? It's because we know God can take that tribulation and work it out for good. Knowing that the tribulations worketh patience. When that tribulation happens in our life, it will work patience. And we'll have the patience to let God have his perfect work. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There was one man that made the statement. He says, faith cannot be developed in comfortable circumstances. Faith cannot be developed in comfortable circumstances. It's when we are pushed to our limits, it's when we are put out of our comfort zones, that we learn what true dependence upon God is. And this is what these verses are saying, that we have access, but we can rejoice in the fact we have hope. How do we find that hope? As we go through the experiences, we learn the patience, we then have hope because we've seen what God's done before in the past. You say, how in the world can I be a person that is patient and hopeful about the things I'm going through? You got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. You have to get to the spot and say, okay, Lord, you said you won't give me more than I can handle. Okay, Lord, you said you can take this and make it work out for good. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to wait. I'm going to let you take care of this and let you bring the glory in all this. Next thing, and last but not least, when it comes to the 6 points on your outline, is the Holy Spirit renews strength. He renews strength. He gives us strength. He gives us the strength that we need to be able to do the things that God's called us to do. Probably most of us have heard this term before. I know Mr. Larry has probably definitely heard it. I'm talking about the guy who runs a lot. Do you run a lot, Mr. Larry? No. Okay. It's called a second wind. And most of us know what that means. Most long-distance runners understands the phenomena. A second wind happens when an athlete who is too weary to continue unexpectedly finds a sudden surge or a boost of energy to press on at peak performance. Medical experts believe the second wind is both part physical and part psychological. A second wind allows the athlete to perform beyond his expected capacity. A second wind will cause them to be able to do more than what their body would normally be able to do. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit enables us to live beyond our power and give us that second wind. You ever been to a spot where you thought you had no more strength? You have no more to give. You have nothing else that can provide. I'm all done. I am all out. It's sort of like the Wednesday night of Kids Crusade. I don't know how we're going to do it again tomorrow. It's sort of like, you know, I am finished. And then we somehow find the strength to happen it again. Is that because you're strong? No. It's because the Holy Spirit of God gives you strength. When you are weary, you have God's promise that the precious Holy Spirit of God will renew your strength. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Look at that. According to the riches of his glory. He receives glory. When we are weak and when we don't have the strength and we continue to push on because we have hope and because we can endure with patience, because we allow him to renew our strength, we do something supernatural in our lives then, and then who gets the glory? God does. I mean, when we see people do supernatural things and say, I don't understand how that person can take such good care of their husband or take such good care of their wife, they have so much on them, you know what, who gets the glory? When that person gives that glory to God, says, you know what, God's the only one who helped me through that. God is the only one that has given me the ability and the patience and the hope to work with that kid that nobody else wants to work with. God is the only one who's enabled me to have that love for that person that is unlovable, because in my own strength and my own flesh, I'd like to smack them. But you know what? God gives me this love and this ability to just love that person. Why is that? Because he's the one that strengthens me. He's the one when I feel like I'm completely worn out. Don't get me wrong. You know, the Bible talks to us about taking rest. You know, today is a day of rest. Today is supposed to be a holy day. Our bodies are designed to rest. But I'm talking about when we get spiritually deprived, and we get spiritually weak, and we get spiritually to the point where we say, I cannot go another step. I am completely worn out. And then somehow, after we spend a little bit of time and let the Holy Spirit of God intercede on our behalf, and we're reminded of the patience of God, we're reminded of the hope of God. And it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. You know, our physical man perishes. Our physical man gets tired. Our physical man gives up all hope. It's when the inward man is renewed day by day. This is where the strength is found at. This is where the testimonies are given of those people who seem like they had nothing left to offer, but then they turn around and give something again. See, that's not you. That's God giving you strength. And that's where you go back to those verses that we learned about at the beginning. You know, that he's the one that renews our strength. In the spiritual life, the Holy Spirit is your perpetual second wind. It is he who provides you the strength to endure and the energy to press on at a peak spiritual performance. Even when you believe your strength is all but gone, it is in the marathon of the Christian life, when you run long and hard, is when your spirit is growing weary and you wonder how another day comes. He runs by your side and breathes a second wind into your spiritual lungs. One day at a time, one leg of the journey at a time, you can count on the fact that the Holy Spirit will renew your strength. He will provide exactly what you need to make it through that next day. He will be there tomorrow to give you the same strength and to renew you once again tomorrow. And that's where you come, and this is where I find my strength at, and this is where I find my hope at. Sometimes I get through a day and it doesn't seem like you accomplished anything. You're like, I got to get up and do the same thing tomorrow. I don't know if I can do it. But in the morning time, if you spend some time alone with the Lord and say, you know what? You can give me that strength. You can give me that hope. You can give me that patience. You can intercede for me. I look in the Word of God and I see where he says he can give you strength. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God does in your life. We should not give up on the Holy Spirit of God. He should be our friend. He is our guide. He is our leader. He is our navigator. We're depending upon him. We're allowing him to protect us and say, okay, Lord, if you're going to give me strength when I go this way, that's the way I'm going. So how do we conclude all this together? How do we finish this up? Well, the Bible says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, if our lives is truly God's, then he can do as he pleases with them. Through everything mentioned in this lesson, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He is the secret source of every Christian. He leads and guides your life. He assures you of your standing with God. He comforts you and consoles you through life's sorrows. He intercedes for you when you don't even know what to say in prayers. He provides patience and hope, supernatural endurance, and a perspective that God is perpetually, always working and always moving. You have value because the Holy Spirit of God can give you that strength to do something for God. You might say, I'm broken. My body doesn't work like it used to. I can't do the things I used to be capable of doing. Let the Holy Spirit of God give you that second wind. He's like, second wind? What are you talking about? Well, yeah, he might not provide you complete use of your body again, but you know what he can do? He can give power to the faint. When you are weak and when you are faint, he says he will give you power. And to them that have no might, to those that think they have no spiritual might, those that think I can't do a thing for God, you know what? He gives you increased strength. That's when we become dependent upon it. You can't say, I can't do anything for God, and just sit there and not do anything. You say, I can't do anything for God, but God, in your word and by your Holy Spirit, I can do what I can. I'm going to give my most. I'm going to do what I can. Like he said about Mary, she did what she could. And it's this idea when we realize that it's not our power, it's not our strength. Sometimes we have to be humbled that way. Sometimes we have to get to the spot where we are put flat on our back and we say, I was trying to do things on my own. I was trying to do all this stuff myself. But now I need the Lord of God to renew my strength. And even the youth shall faint and be weary. I know we see some people, and sometimes we're surprised by them. Sometimes we say, wow, do they ever get tired? Do they ever not? They do. Even the strongest will be faint. and be weary. Even the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that will take the time to just wait and sit and look up to God and say, God, I need your help, your strength, and your Holy Spirit. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Wouldn't that be nice? To run and not be weary? I don't know about you. I can't run and not hurt, much less be weary. So run and not be weary. Say, well, when does that happen? You look at some people. You look at some people who've been serving the Lord for a long time, and you see them keep on going. You see them keep on going. Now, their body gets physically tired, but you see, like, it seems like they always are serving the Lord. They're always trying to do something for God, and they always have a positive spirit and attitude about it. What have they done? They've waited upon the Lord. They let God renew their strength instead of finding it inside their own self and, you know, forcing themselves to have this idea of, I can handle this strength, I can handle this power, I can wait out patiently. No, no, no. They've waited on the Lord, and they say, okay, Lord, this is yours. This is not mine. And then we let him renew our strength. And then when it seemed like everyone else is quitting, everyone else is giving up, when no one else can go on, you still have that passion because you waited on God, and you can let God renew your strength. And then I like these verses, and lots of people talk about them, but how many of us really live it? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And when's the last time we really mounted up as wings as eagles? I think of eagles and how high they fly. And I like the idea that they're flying above the circumstances of this world. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. You know, we can rise above our circumstances. Yes, we have to go through them, but we can, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can rise above them. We can mount up with wings as eagles, and we can have these promises. So I want to encourage you today. I know our lesson's a little bit shorter this morning because we're finishing up the second half of last week. I could stand up here and talk for 10 more minutes, but there's no need for me to do that when the lesson's finished. The one thing I learned from somebody, say what you're supposed to say and then be done. Right, Mr. Islet? So Mr. Islet always gives me a hard time. But, you know, say what you're supposed to do and get done. And here's the thought is, are you letting the Holy Spirit of God do these things for you? He's giving you the promises. We've showed you that he can be your lead and your guide. He showed you that he can give you strength. We showed you he can give you hope. We showed you he can give you patience. We showed you that he intercedes for you, that he assures you of the love of God, that he assures you of your place in God. He's giving you all those things. What is he to you? He's supposed to be a friend you walk with. He's with you all the time, but do you speak with him? Do you talk to him? I know people, you know, do you pray in God's name? Do you pray this? You know, I think you should speak to the Holy Spirit of God as you're walking also and say, Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I don't know which way to go. I don't understand this passage of Scripture. He teaches us those things. But is he our friend? He is the greatest gift that we have ever received. I thought salvation was that. Well, he comes with salvation. So it's just not being out of hell. You actually have the Spirit of God living inside of you. That's one great package. And he is there with you. Don't misuse the gift by neglecting it. He wants to be there with you. Let's go ahead and pray.